We are in the third and final part of a series entitled Fresh Start. If you've been with us, let me just give you a quick review of where we've been. And if this is your first time with us, let me tell you where we have been so that you can catch up. And if you'd like to see what we said about these four other subjects, you can go and to our website at www.gatewaycommunity.org and catch up there. We started the series with a promise from the Old Testament book of Zechariah, where God promised to give his people a fresh start. And we said that while in our eyes we tend to think in terms of being the same old people simply facing a new day, in God's eyes we are a brand new people getting a fresh start. The amazing promise of Scripture is that when a person comes to faith in Christ, all of his sins, all of her sins, past, present, and future, have already been paid for, all of them. And in addition to that, Christ's righteousness has been credited to our account. It's an amazing thing when you think about it. Now, if you've been a part of any of the support groups, AA or NA or some of those groups that deal with various addictions, a person could have been in that group for decades, but when they stand up, they always introduce themselves as being their former self. I'm an alcoholic, they say. And they identify themselves with these past addictions. Sadly, many Christians do the same thing, even though we don't have to. And that's our message for this morning. But before we get there, one of the reasons that we give for Christians who struggle with the reality of feeling forgiven is that there's a sad reality that those of us who have been forgiven can be very unforgiving of others. And when we act this way, we don't hurt them. The people that we hurt, the people that we carry the anger for, the bitterness against, the unforgiveness towards, we don't hurt them at all. We hurt ourselves. If you struggle in your Christian life thinking that you have to somehow prove to God that you deserve his forgiveness, or feeling perhaps that you have committed some sin that is so great that God can't or won't forgive you, chances are that false belief comes from your own practice of never fully forgiving anyone. And you need to deal with that. And yes, it's costly. And yes, they might take advantage of you. But come on. God's forgiveness of you cost him the sacrifice of his son on the cross. And let's face it. Every one of us has taken advantage of him by presuming on his forgiveness. Now, this morning, we're going to wrap up this series, Fresh Start, by looking at an unwrapping party found in John chapter 11. If you have your Bible, you may want to turn there, or you can look up. We'll project it up here on the screen for you. But we want you to follow along. John chapter 11 records for us the account of Jesus and his friends, Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, who were brother and sisters. The Apostle John, who is the author of the narrative, tells us that Jesus had a special love for this particular family. And so it's even more surprising when you realize this love that he had for them, when they send for him in their time of need, he doesn't show up. He's physically absent. And some of you know what that feels like. You cried out to God for help, and he didn't respond the way you hoped he would. And now you're disappointed and hurt. And if you're honest, maybe even a little angry with him. Like a young lady from Chicago who many years ago, her pastor became ill with cancer. And the church began to pray for him, and prayers were being offered for him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And during the time of his illness, people would come into his hospital room or they would come to his home and they would tell him, Pastor, God has told us he's going to heal you. And there were times that it appeared that perhaps God was going to heal that young pastor. But eventually the time came when he called his family to his bedside, said his goodbyes, fell into a coma, and died. In light of this, there was one young lady in his congregation who said, I will never bother God with another request again. Why should I? I'll only be disappointed. And she gave up on God and she gave up on prayer a long time ago. And some of you know exactly what we're talking about because you're there. Mary and Martha had sent word to Jesus that his dear friend was gravely ill. And Jesus didn't come. Not the first day, not the second day, the third day, fourth. Finally, when he does show up, it's too late. Lazarus has died. The funeral has been held. He's been buried. He's been in the ground 4 days by time Jesus gets there. And so it's no wonder that when Jesus finally does arrive in town, both sisters level the same accusation at him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. To going to the gravesite, this is where we pick up our message this morning. Our text says, Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. Now, I was watching this on a DVD set by the American Bible Society entitled The Gospel of John. And this is a word-for-word video of the fourth gospel, and it's great to watch. And when Jesus gives this command, the actress who's playing Martha, who's standing on his left side, her head turns quickly towards Jesus, and she's got this startled look on her face, and then she says, but Lord, by this time there's a bad odor. He's been in there for 4 days. In other words, she's saying, Jesus, you don't want to go there. There's a bad smell. There's a dead body. Have you been here earlier? Maybe you could have done something. Maybe there was hope. But now it's just a little late. I mean, I know what you said about being the resurrection and the life. And I know that someday I'll see Lazarus again, my brother again. But now's not the time. I don't want to see him like this. And Martha's a lot like us, isn't she? Much of our faith is little more than an intellectual comprehension that something might happen. Martha believed that eventually God would raise Lazarus from the dead. The kind of faith that Jesus wanted to see here was not that kind of faith. Not the kind of faith that believes that he can do something, but the kind of faith that expects him to do something. And that's what he says to her in the very next verse. He says, then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they removed the stone. And Jesus prays. And I have to tell you, this prayer is not like anything I would have prayed. You know, if I had been there and I'd done something like that, I probably played something like this. God, I'm in a fix. I mean, I probably shouldn't have asked him to do that, but I did, and now I need your help. Please, please, please do something. It's not what Jesus prays. So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. Then he turns his eyes from heaven and he turns them towards the tomb. And when he had called out in a loud voice, when he had said this, he called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. And the people stood there and they stared into the blackness of the now open tomb. One of them said, did you see something move? I think I saw something. No, couldn't be. But slowly, a white form materializes from the dark interior of that tomb. And they're thinking, it can't be. But it was. It was Lazarus himself, and he moved into daylight. And the sisters probably looked at Jesus with bewilderment on their faces. The crowd probably gasped. They're looking around at each other. They're pointing, and Jesus, he's just looking towards the tomb. He doesn't get excited about the reappearance of a dead man. He has something else on his mind. I mean, what could it be? Here's a resurrected man. What more could you expect? Well, our text tells us. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen, a cloth around his face. Jesus said to them, "Take off the grave clothes and let him go." And it's here where I want to draw our application this morning. Because quite frankly, many of us are like Lazarus. We've been raised to new life, but we're still bound in our old grave clothes. You know, Lazarus must have been somewhat bewildered as he stumbled out of that grave. His face is covered, his feet are tied, his arms and hands are fastened to his side, so he couldn't walk very well. He couldn't talk because he had a napkin in his mouth. His chin was tied up, and he couldn't work. And even though he was raised to new life, he is still bound by his grave clothes. And there are many Christians today who have been raised to new life, but they've never been released from their grave clothes. You know, when Jesus came out of his tomb, he left the grave clothes where they belonged. He knew that in his resurrection life, grave clothes would be an absolute contradiction. So he comes out of the tomb without them. And according to Paul in Romans 6, that's how believers are supposed to identify with Christ. We're supposed to leave our grave clothes behind. But most of us come out like Lazarus. Even though we've been freed from the things that bind us, we still many times carry them with us. We're alive, we have new life, but we're defeated. The Apostle Paul, writing, tells us that we were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Now, the New Testament has a whole lot to say about the Christian walk. When it talks about our walks, it's talking about how we live, how we behave in the world. And I like this word walk, because it carries with it the idea of going through life one step at a time. Here at Gateway, our mission is to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do that one step at a time. We want to help you take the next step wherever you are in your spiritual journey. We want to help you take the next step. The Apostle Paul, sitting in prison because he was willing to do the right thing, kind of applicable today, isn't it? Sitting in prison because he did the right thing, wrote this, "I therefore, prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling that you have been called." And you can't do that if you remain bound in your grave clothes of sin. Lazarus is a graphic picture of a defeated Christian. He's given new life, but he can't walk because his feet are tied. He can't talk because his mouth is tied shut with a napkin in it. And he can't work because his hands are bound to his side. And there's one word that describes Lazarus in that condition. It's the word couldn't. How frustrating it must have been for him. I mean, one minute he's lying in the tomb, he doesn't know what's happened. He hears his name and he can see light through the napkin, but that's about all he can see. And all of a sudden he's having trouble getting up, he's having trouble moving. Doesn't know what's going on. It must have been frustrating. He's alive, but he's bound. And the interesting thing is there's nothing he can do about it. And many Christians share that same experience with Lazarus. They have new life, but they're living defeated lives because they're bound to the old ways that they had been called out of, and they haven't been set free from them. And the problem is, and here's the rub, we can't do it on our own. Lazarus couldn't get out of those clothes on his own, and we can't get out of it either. That's where the church comes in. That's why you need the church. That's why I need the church. Jesus, standing outside of that tomb that day, says, take off the grave clothes and let him go. And he says that to the church today. Now, what would have happened if Jesus hadn't commanded that? What would have happened if he just kind of let that go and said, hey, you know, he's alive. This is great. Let's go party at Lazarus' house. And everybody headed back towards the house. Poor Lazarus, he'd be stumbling along trying to catch up because he couldn't walk. He couldn't talk. And he couldn't work. And we're called to walk with Christ and to work for Christ and to witness about Christ. But we can't do that effectively as long as we are content to stay bound in the grave clothes, in our former way of life that we had when we're dead. And the Bible tells us that we're dead in trespasses and sin. Suppose you were at a funeral home. You were standing beside the casket of a loved one. And people were filing by and they were offering their condolences. And suddenly one person comes up and he kind of ignores you and he goes up to the coffin and he reaches in and he takes your loved one hand and he says, arise. And suddenly that loved one sits up in the casket. Now after you wake up, because you would probably pass out, after you wake up, would you say to that loved one, we have to remember this for all time, so do me a favor and don't change those clothes that you were buried in. I mean, I know that they smell of death. And I know that, you know, they'll remember, but they're going to remind us of what, where we were and now what we have. I don't think you would do that. You'd want to get rid of those clothes as soon as possible because they remind you of death, not of life. You'd have your loved one change as quickly as you could. And you'd burn those clothes that reminded you of death, that had the smell of death on them. And similarly, those of us who have been raised to new life in Christ should desire to rid ourselves of our burial clothes as soon and as quickly and as thoroughly as possible. But like Lazarus, we need help. We can't do it on our own. And I'm going to tell you something. We weren't meant to do it on our own. As a church, we are called to bear one another's burdens in the love of Christ, Galatians 6:2. We are called to encourage one another in Hebrews 10:25. We are called to spur one another on to good works in Hebrews 10:24. And we are called to admonish one another in Colossians 3:16. And that word admonish is not one that we use too often today. It means simply to give friendly, earnest advice to someone. And all of that makes me believe that we're in this together. We are not to be the church or to just attend church. We are called to be the church, not just attend. Francis Chan tells us that God called you to be the church, not just gather in the room and listen to a sermon. But the reason that so many of us are alive in Christ but still walking around in our grave clothes is because this is all we do. We come, we sit, we soak. But God help the person or persons who tries to get close enough to us to help us unwrap some of that grave clothes. And that's why our church today is so ineffectual in society. Now, I've not given up on the church. Jesus promised that he was going to build his church, and the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against it. But through history, we know that there have been times when the church has gone into eclipse, and it's done that today because we are still running around. Many of us are still running around with our former life binding us and holding us. Even though we've been given new life, we're still dressed as the old man. still bound in our grave clothes, and we can't walk, and we can't work, and we can't witness effectively, and we know it. So what do? Well, we come and we sit and we listen, but we don't try to live different, to act different, to be different, and to tell other people why we're different. And the worst part about all of this is some of you sitting around in your grave clothes are slandering other people because of their grave clothes. You're pointing out their failures while you're sitting there with yours. Stop it! James, the brother of Jesus, tells us, brothers, do not slander one another. And let me just say, we do this not only with talking about people, we do this on our social media sites as well. And I just got to tell you, you're not gaining any followers for Christ when you air your dirty laundry and the things that you don't like about the church and your personal criticisms and pointing out the grave clothes on other people while you're typing with your grave clothes on. We need to remember that everything that we do and everything that we post is either going to draw someone to Christ or that's going to drive them away from him. They're not going to say, you know, okay, well, we want to follow Christ, but, you know, we're just not going to go to church. Well, no, that's not going to happen. They're going to say, we're not going to follow anything if that's what the church is like. Everything we do is either going to draw someone to Jesus or drive them from him, rather than criticizing fellow believers with whom we disagree. We should pray for them. Years ago, I had the privilege of participating in an evangelistic campaign throughout the British Isles. And John Innes was on that team, and John Innes was the organist for many years for the Billy Graham Association, and he played at the Crusades for Dr. Graham. And we were flying from London to Dublin, and I had the opportunity at that point to actually sit next to Mr. Innes. And so I turned to him and I said, John, I said, I've got to ask you a question. What impresses you most about Billy Graham? And John Innes never missed a beat. He turned to me and he said, John, the thing that impresses me most about Dr. Graham is that I have never heard him criticize his critics. He prays for them instead. And I'm absolutely convinced that that's why God was able to use Dr. Graham the way he's used him. I wonder what would happen in the church today if we as believers followed that example and started praying about the things that upset us instead of complaining about it for all the world to see. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to stop playing church, and I want you to be the church. When Lazarus emerged from that tomb, no one knew what to do. They're so awed by this resurrected life, they failed to see Lazarus' immediate need. But Jesus doesn't miss it. He says, take off his clothes, let him go. Just to be clear here, the grave clothes are any of the sins associated with your old way of life, any of those habits. The Apostle Paul put it this way, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. In other words, get out of the grave clothes. Put off your old self, which is being corrupted by the deceitful desires, and be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Let's stop pretending that we don't see the grave clothes either on ourselves or on others. And let's be loving enough to say to one another, hey, let me help you with that. And let's be gracious enough when someone comes to say, let me help you with that. Let's realize they're not trying to judge you. They're trying to help you. And for your sake and for their sake. And most importantly, for the sake of Christ in this world, let them help you. Lazarus would have been a sorry sight if he spent his whole life walking around the rest of his earthly life in his grave clothes. Then again, so are we, a sorry sight, when we who claim to have new life through Christ walk around life bound in the grave clothes that speak only of death and hamper us in our walk, in our talk, and in our work for Christ. The half and half Christian is of no use to anybody. The world has no use for that type of person, but considers them to be a hypocrite. And God can't use them because they're still too bound to their old way of life. What about you? If you've heard the voice of Christ and you've been raised from the dead, have you submitted to the unwrapping process? Are you submitting to the unwrapping process? Or are you content to walk around in the grave clothes of sin that you were buried in and just claim, grace, 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 I can do what I want to do? In a minute, Joey and the team are going to come and they're going to lead us in our invitation. And I'm going to challenge you right here, right now, today, start the unwrapping process. You know the parts that are still holding on to you. Deal with it. Come to faith in Christ if you've never done that. Or if you've done that, face the facts that you still have those things binding you and begin to let other people unwrap you and help you. Okay, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this time that we can have together. And we pray that you'll speak now by your Spirit to your people. In Jesus' name, amen.